Our next guest played 1,291 games in the National Hockey League, was in four Stanley Cup Finals, winning two of them as a member of the Lightning and the Dallas Stars. Of course, was drafted 7th overall back in 1990 by the Los Angeles Kings from Edmonton. Now the assistant coach of the Minnesota Wild, Daryl Sedor, joins us. Daryl, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Man, that is a lengthy resume. Not many guys play 1,291 games, play 155-plus games in the playoffs. When you retired, was it like, okay, I'm good, like I've had enough?
Not exactly. You know, you always want more, but it was time for me to hang them up and pursue another career.
You know, Daryl, it's Robin here. Funny how time flies. I remember you as a 16-year-old rookie with the Kamloops Blazers. You and Niedermeyer were there. Now we're talking about time to hang them up. You're well into your coaching career. Tell me about the transition. When did you decide it might be something you wanted to do, and how's it been since you got into it?
Yeah, well, I guess we do go back a long way. From Mac Park days in Kamloops, all the training camps, but time flies. And, you know, the transition for myself was, you know, probably the last couple of years of my career. I wasn't playing a lot, and I had a lot of young guys coming up and asking questions and, you know, just kind of teaching them a little bit, talking to them about position and stuff like that. So it kind of fueled a little bit of my energy that way, and I was excited about it. So, you know, the opportunity arose, and, you know, after I hung him up in St. Louis, and I was still contemplating playing maybe another year, but obviously I was a free agent that wasn't going to be probably picked right away, so I would have had to probably, you know, I'd wait after training camp or a little bit longer, and I just wasn't sure if my body could hold up yet and keep doing it. You know, I still had the drive, but opportunity came from Mike Yeo when he got the job in Houston to, you know, he heard that you know, I was possibly thinking about it. So he had me in Pittsburgh when I had a lot of downtime. He was the one, you know, assistant coach that skated me a lot and, you know, got to know him, and, you know, opportunity came and he needed to know. And I just, you know, I jumped at it. I was able to work with kids in Houston, and things progressed quite quickly after our season there. And, you know, Mike was able to ask me if I wanted to be part of the Wild, and, you know, by all means, I wanted, my goal is to try and get back to the National Hockey League and do good things and try and teach.
Daryl Sedor, assistant coach of the Wild, joins us. Daryl, head coaches, you know, you had a lot of great ones, very different personalities, from Hitchcock to Tortorella to Larry Robinson. But a lot of times, you know, a defenseman, you know, you work more sometimes with the assistant coach who's in charge of the defenders. Who was the best coach you had helping you to be a defenseman in the NHL?
You know, obviously to be a defenseman, I mean, you know, I think it all started back in junior when I had Don Hay. I think, you know, Don was our defensive coach, and, you know, he taught me, I guess just the little things about being professional. But, you know, once I got to the National Hockey League, obviously it was a few years in Los Angeles, but I think when I came to Dallas under Rick Wilson, took a lot of time to watch video and position, and, you know, I think that's where, and Robin probably can test with this too, I was more of an offensive defenseman in junior hockey. And, you know what, offense gets you to the National Hockey League, they say, and defense keeps you around. So I think, you know, with Wills teaching me the defensive game in Dallas, and obviously being able to play with a lot of great players, but, you know, I just kind of, I felt and I learned how to play the defensive game. And you kind of just saw in my career where it went from, you know, I wasn't, although I can move the puck and stuff like that, I need really to rely on my defensive game.
You know, it's interesting. When Jason asked the question, I got the your homepage up. I was pointing at Rick Wilson. You were there as a young defenseman. And, you know, he's that kind of teacher. Now, it's funny, you end up on a coaching staff with Rick, and now you're trying to impart the same kind of messages that you heard as a young man.
Yeah.
Did you always listen as a young man, and how do you try and get players now to listen to you now that you're in those shoes?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, you know, I think, you know, I did always listen, because I was a lot of ears and a lot of questions. I asked a lot of questions and, you know, probably sometimes maybe a little bit too many, but I always wanted to learn the game. And I think it's ironic how now we're together as coaches, and, you know, he's barking the same messages that I heard 20 years ago. And I think it just comes from two different guys that are still trying to help out the same position. And, you know, he has his way of doing it, and I come across in a different way of being a player that's, you know, not just came out of the league, but I've been in the league and I've seen the transition of the game of how it's gone. And you'd be able to talk. My message is more to the players of situational play. There's a lot of situations that they'll come to me with, and I got to remember, you know, I've probably been in those type of situations, and how did I react to it? So, you know, that's it's not do as I say, not as I do. I try and teach from experience of, and also teach from experience of what I've got from the Larry Robinsons, the Charlie Huddies, the Mark Hardys, the Tim Waters, all these guys that, you know, I played with that were older, and kind of helped me through my career. You know, that's what I'm trying to kind of bring to these young guys. But I think the second part of that question is how do you teach these kids? It is a different breed nowadays. I'm not going to beat around the bush, and you got to. It's almost like you have to manage, and you know, you got to know every player. You got to just know how to talk with them. One message is not going to be the same for the other guy.
Yeah. Now, you touched on this earlier, Daryl, and I want to revisit it. You were a tremendous offensive hockey player, not only as a junior, but relatively speaking, coming into the league. Everybody likes to be on the score sheet. Everybody likes to produce points. It gets you marquee. It gets you money. There's a lot of positives to it. But unless you're an elite guy at the offensive level in the NHL, you have to be sound in your own zone. It's not fun. It's not sexy, but it's a requisite of being in the league. How do you get that specific message across to a young defenseman who might think, well, you know what, I've always just been so good, I can play this way, and you got to say, no, there's more to it?
Well, I mean, you know, how you get that message through is just by watching video with them. And you can't have long video sessions with them. You got to have short ones. And they're right, because nowadays it's there's a different mindset in players younger, because they have done this and you think you can do this. But, you know, the message is, you know, in that situation, I've been there, kind of done that. I'm not trying to, blow my horn or anything, but I've been there, and it didn't work for me the first few years in Los Angeles, and I had to learn it. So until you learn it, until you see it, and then once they get success from it, you look like a guy like Jared Spurgeon, which is a smaller defenseman, but he's outstanding defensively, and you can see that he's evolving more as an offensive guy. And as you saw, and you know, defense does win. And I think when players start seeing this stuff around the league from very well defending teams, you know, the offense is going to come. But also, you know, the players have to see the success. They have to see how it translates to the game. And once they do it once or twice, and they'll start believing in the system.
Assistant coach of the Minnesota Wild, Daryl Sedor, joined us. Orders taking on the Wild tomorrow night. You have Ryan Suter, who's playing almost half the game every night, Daryl, and he's one of the best defensemen in the game. What do you work with specifically at the guy like Ryan Suter? How do you challenge the guys who are the best of the best?
Well, obviously he's playing a lot of the games, so you can't talk to him a lot because he's not on the bench a lot. But, you know, little things like, you know, he's a tremendous player. He just calms the game right down. You just know when he has the puck that you can kind of take a deep breath. And he just has that patience. So you just look at little things. I look at little things on maybe, you know, how to get the puck through the net a little bit cleaner, a little bit quicker. And just, you know, little things like that. But there's not much of his game that you can really pick apart that he really needs to work on. So what you do with him is you just try and stay on top of all aspects of his game.
Daryl, you talked about getting pucks through the net, and now when you played, not every forward in the league was willing to block shots. It seems now every player has to be willing to block shots for the most part, so it's even harder for defensemen to get through. You played in Dallas for many years. For my money, one of the greatest defensemen ever, walking across the blue line in Zubov, so I'm sure you learned from him. How do you translate that to defensemen? Can you talk about that skill on how to manage the blue line properly in the offensive zone as a defenseman to lead to scoring chances?
Well, it's a really good it's another really good question. That's the way the game is now, and I think you start seeing it in Dallas. We blocked a lot of shots, but I know in Tampa Bay under Tortorella, in that run that we had, we were a team that blocked a heck of a lot of shots. And The one thing we try and teach here a lot is walking the blue line, obviously with your head up, and it's probably not going to be that big slap shot. It's probably going to be a wrist shot. You don't only have to look at the first four checker coming out of you, but you got to see where the second guy is and almost even the third guy. So it's getting pucks, behind the first guy and second guy, creating opportunity. Not a lot of the times, if you're not a Shea Weber or these guys with the big shot, that you're going to score from that point. So what you need to do is, you got three forwards working hard down there. This is what we try and tell our defensemen is that, they're working their butt off. We got to get that puck back down to them. So if you don't have a shot, you're shooting for the side of that, but you got to walk that line, keep your head up, and it's probably just a wrist shot.
Sid, what are we looking at down the stretch for Minnesota? Expectations are high. The franchise spent a ton of dough on Parise and Suter. You're right in the thick of things now. Is it stay the course? What's the mentality of the players in the room and the coaching staff right now?
Well, yeah, it's just, the workman mentality is it's that we don't, our motto, we don't want to never get too high, never get too low. We just stay with what our game is. We can't worry about what else is going on around the league. I know this is all cliches, but, we just got to focus on our game. Obviously, everybody's really excited to get back, but, we really paid a lot of attention just to our details through this last week, just focusing on our game. And, we're playing Edmonton tomorrow that, their whole team's been here for a week, getting ready. So, we couldn't really work on a lot of systems and stuff like that because we had guys that were over there. Today was our really first day that we had everybody back. And so our mentality is that we just need, obviously, to get off to it, just like everybody else, they want to get off to a good start. But we just need to stay focused in our game. We know how the Minnesota Wild play. It's a frustrating game. We believe it's a hard-checking game, and I mean checking not by just physical contact. I mean hard-checking in the forecheck in the neutral zone, and that's where we want to create turnovers, and then we want to play with speed.
Daryl Sedor joins us, assistant coach of the Minnesota Wild. Currently sitting in the number one wild card spot, if you want to call it that, the new conference, but fourth in the Central Division with 69 points, comfortably in a playoff spot. Daryl, this is now your third year in the NHL, and as a player, you always wanted to improve and evolve, and guys were working on your game. How do you evolve as a coach? How different are you from year one, and what are the things you feel you need to improve on as a coach?
Well, I think I'm just a lot more comfortable in interacting with players. When you're first out of the league, you still kind of talk to players maybe as a player. But, the one thing I think that a lot of ex-players that played the game that are in coaching now, they can say that they can feel what the players are going through throughout a game. They can feel the different situations. So, it's just really, the last last three years, obviously my second and now my third, I feel a lot more comfortable around the players and talking to players, but it's just learning the game. It's, standing behind the bench, I mean, things happen quickly back there. And, it's time management. You got to know what to watch for, and you try and slow the game. I think if you talk to Hitchcock, he says the game goes so slow for him, but he's also coached for, 40 years. And, it's just something that will evolve, but it's just learning the game, learning the players, and just trying to communicate a lot better. Because nowadays, communication is the key to, I think, any success from being a coach.
Daryl, as always, we appreciate your time. Now when you come back to Edmonton as a coach, do you still have to get a lot of tickets, or is the demand a little bit less for you now that you're not playing?
Demand's a lot less. I'd rather sit at home on the couch.
Well, Daryl, good luck with the Wild, and best of luck moving into the playoffs.
Thanks, guys. Good talking to you.